It's Friday, May 9th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we are again in Matthew chapter 12, taking a look at verses 15 through 23 with part one of a message titled, The Unburdening Messiah.
That's my greatest concern for Christians at the moment, that we are so caught up right now in search of political heroes to relieve our burden. And yet in the middle of all of this, I have been preaching a certain passage. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn this morning. If you're a visitor, we're working through expositionally, the Gospel of Matthew. And today we are in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we are looking at verses 15 through 23 of Matthew chapter 12. You'll remember last time we considered that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, how the Pharisees attacked him on his eating of bread, eating of grain with his disciples. We spent some time in that particular passage, but now Matthew does something somewhat surprising. That's what we're looking at today, right after these two accounts on the Sabbath and the issue of the Sabbath. So beginning at verse 15 of Matthew chapter 12, we read this. Jesus aware of this, withdrew from there. And many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? And there will end the reading of God's word. I thought about today taking a much larger section as I've been doing in Matthew. I wondered what I would do with this particular little section here. I wondered if I should have put it into the other sermon and how to break it up. But as I studied it, I realized that Matthew is doing something very crucial to the entire book in this little section that we are considering this morning. He is taking what we know as, from Isaiah, the suffering servant passages from the book of Isaiah, and what Matthew is doing for us in the middle of this gospel is identifying Jesus as the Messiah in a unique way, in a surprising way. Matthew wants to do that for us today. He wanted to do that in Israel, was to identify the Messiah. How? How would people know? How would they see? At least for all generations that would read this later would say, now we see this was the Messiah. How would people know? This is really important. In some ways, I believe it's the center of the book. For as this is the most Jewish of the Gospels, he is presenting Jesus as the true King and the Messiah. That's sort of the great theme of the book. Not only does Matthew take the Old Testament scriptures to identify him, but he does it in such a way today as to offset Christ from every other hero that Israel would expect. And we need to let that set in for a minute. Every other hero than Israel would expect. In other words, he deliberately describes Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, with those qualities that would actually make him offensive to us. Well, I guess that depends. That depends. That has to be qualified. When Jesus said in the previous section, blessed is he who is not offended because of me, that's still running through this. Why would people be offended by him? Herein is the test. Matthew has offset Jesus in a surprising way today as the Messiah. He has offset him from all other deliverers throughout all of history. And that in and of itself showcases God's wisdom contrary to the wisdom of this present world in all of its deliverers. It tests us as to whether we have received Christ and his kingdom as he is revealed to us in the scriptures. That's my greatest concern for Christians at the moment, that we are so caught up right now in search of political heroes to relieve our burdens. And yet in the middle of all of this, I have been preaching a certain passage. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden's light. And you will find rest for your souls. Well, Matthew today is showcasing this. He wants to identify and press us as to whether we've received the Messiah. How would you know? That's the question. How would you know that Jesus is the Messiah? In no way that you would immediately expect. What kind of warrior would you think? What kind of warrior are we looking for? Matthew reveals to the identity of Jesus Christ as the long-awaited Messiah, the greater than David, and as the servant of the Lord prophesied in Isaiah. That's what's happening here in this gospel today. And you see that in the revelation of his humility, his message, and his claim. And that's what we're looking at in this glorious little section today that is immensely encouraging for us. Let's begin with his humility. You might say at the heart of this comes in verse 23 in the text today with a question that is posed by the multitudes, and these are large numbers of people following Jesus Christ. They are following him as he's doing his healings, and they ask the question in verse 23, could this be the son of David? In Israel, that meant, is this the Messiah? Is this the greater son that was promised to David who would sit on his throne forever? Is that him? That's a remarkable question in the midst of all of this that Matthew is pressing us with. And Jesus has already invited the comparison. He did it last week, remember, in what we considered on the issue of the Sabbath. The Pharisees had come to him and were furious because they were eating grain on the Sabbath and rubbing grain together. And Jesus invited the comparison right then and there. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? So you see the comparison here. Jesus has raised it and the people are asking, is this him? Is this the son of David? You remember the account? Saul was going after David and all of his, what you call band of brothers. They were on the run. David was exiled from his kingdom. There was a brutal effort, if you will, by Israel's leaders to kill David, to destroy David. And so they had to eat bread to live. Jonathan said, my father David seeks to destroy you. Jesus wasn't just drawing this comparison out of nowhere. It's as if Jesus said in the last section, do you guys realize the greater than David has come? And the reason we're out in the grain fields is because you've driven us out here. I should be in my kingdom. You've sought to destroy me. That's how the section ended, didn't it? The Pharisees then went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Same scene now in fulfillment. Dave, the greater than David, is on the run, if you will, though he's not. Everything's planned. And so in fulfillment, that's what we have in this passage. The greater than David, and at the end of our text, the people are struck with that. Is this him? Is this the son of David? So here we are. That's the theme. That's the issue. Now you'll notice that's bracketed in verse 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And the end of that comparison ends as he healed the man there who was demon-possessed when they asked the question, is it the son of David? So there's something that's happening at the center of this, what you might call pericope, what you might say is bracketed, something big is happening to identify him. This is going to lead in the next week to the issue of blasphemy against the Spirit, where the Pharisees will commit that in attacking him as doing the works of Satan. You'll remember, that's next week. But Matthew, for a minute, wants us to stop and identify Jesus. Let's do that, if you will. He's not merely a descendant from David. Oh, he's much more than that. That's what leads Matthew here to his remarkable revelation of him. What do you think, if I asked the question today, would identify Jesus as the Messiah, the greater than David? How would we know? How would we know, right? We get to the heart of something that he's been saying. After he healed them all, you'll notice here in verse 15, notice what it said. He ordered them not to make him known. Now, we've come across this before. It's been a little confusing as to the reason for this. Why? And we've always tried to answer that. But he gives us a direct answer here. I don't want you making me known. And Matthew says, that was done so that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Now, why does he keep saying this? Don't make me known. Because he's about to prove what it means that he, now listen, is gentle and lowly in heart, humble. Here's the reason he's saying this. He's not after fame or fortune. He's not after, listen, this is really a very interesting providence that I landed on this week. He's not after winning the kingdom by popular vote. He's not after a display of outward glory. He made himself of no reputation. And what that means is, when he says, don't tell anyone, I don't want any attention from this. What's being shown to us? What I'm about to do is to contrast your Messiah, your king, your political hero, and radically offset him from everything you just experienced this last week. That's going to test you. Matthew wants Christ to stand out in a way that we would never expect him to stand out. So that we would know the prophecy is fulfilled. What prophecy? What are we talking about? And herein lies the test. You can only come to him when you know what he has set out to accomplish as your Messiah. That's a crucial point. You will only come to him when you know what he has set out to accomplish. And at this point, Matthew did not want it known, or Jesus didn't, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. And the first thing that's emphasized here is fascinating to study from the prophecy of Isaiah 42. And it's focused on his humility. Notice this. Notice the quote here from Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen. This is taken from the very first of the servant prophecies of the book of Isaiah, beginning at Isaiah chapter 42:1. And what that's describing is the breaking in, the glorious description of God's kingdom coming in history with the Messiah. When would it come? What would it look like? Everyone look to this. Behold my servant whom I have chosen to redeem Israel and the coastlands of the Gentiles. That's what Isaiah says. The powerful kingdom of God is described in Isaiah 42, but it's described by a suffering servant, a warring suffering servant, no doubt. But notice the behold is interesting. It's an interesting word here, even back in the Hebrew in Isaiah. It's a fascinating word that was used. It was a device to say, really want you to pay attention right now. If any of you are sleeping, that was a bad moment for you. I really want you to pay attention. Listen up. Consider my servant whom I have chosen. That's the greatest election in history. Here's my servant whom I, my elect one, the chosen one. What a moment. This is the one my soul is well pleased in. Now, this is crucial. Where was that said of Christ? Where was this identified? Well, it was identified at his baptism. He was identified. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. Can you imagine? This is just unbelievable to think about. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I'm well pleased." What do we have here? The Father is speaking here, and he's introducing his Son, the Messiah who has come to the earth. The Father has introduced and declared his Son. The Father has. And then the Spirit falls. Our triune God. All of that happened at his baptism. And now Matthew begins to showcase him as much greater than the Son of David, as the greater Son of David, if you will. And what would you expect of him? Why are the religious leaders wanting to kill him? Well, Matthew grabs Isaiah 42 at this moment. And it's as if he says, you should have been able to identify him by now. I put my Spirit on him so that he would declare justice to the Gentiles. We'll come back to that in a second. It means he would declare truth. He would tell people what is right. He would come with a goal that people would repent of their sins and be saved. That's what the justice he's talking about. The justice of God being satisfied so that people would escape the wrath of God. But Matthew gives us a glimpse into this, saying that his arrival is intended for the Gentiles. But when I say this captures something about Jesus that I want us to think about for a minute. Notice verse 19. He will not, you've read this a million times, have you thought about it? He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Huh? I mean, you got to stop and ponder that. You could read right over it. He will not make a wrangling. He will not be out fighting and disputing. He will not engage in strife. Meaning, his kingdom will not be won that way. Sure, he will tell truth. There will be fights over truth. There's no doubt. That's not what it's saying here. What it's saying here is his whole approach. He will not engage in strife. He is not the one who has made himself great by strife. He is not one who's come and fought that way to bring in the kingdom. Oh, he's no weakling. Before I make sure it's clear here. He's going to bind the strong man. But how? Not the way you think. We live in this masculinity crisis today. Everyone wants a loud, obnoxious, tough guy. I like it. Well, maybe. What we've all been used to and heard from all of our leaders this past year is all of them crying out in the streets, quarreling to bring in the kingdom, making a name for themselves. We're so used to it now, we don't even think anything of it. Speaking of constant greatness, speaking of accomplishment after accomplishment, I will, I will, I will, I will. I'm not making a political statement here, I'm just making the obvious known, right? I get it. Those are earthly kings. I will fix this. Really? You have that kind of sovereignty?
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We're glad you joined us, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow for part two of this message in Matthew chapter 12. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email. That's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.